Amen. Praise the Lord again for just being in the house of the Lord this morning. What a blessing it's already been just to be in this place. And something about the hymns and songs of Christmas. And certainly the gospel is portrayed in each one of them. And the songs that we've sang this morning, the gospel is. Jesus Christ is the gospel. He's here. He walked among us and dwelt among us. And the Bible says we beheld His glory. And what a great blessing that is. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This morning, Hebrews chapter 11, and we are going to read verses 32 down through verse 40. We'll take our text out of verses 39 and 40 this morning, and we'll go into Hebrews chapter 12 a little bit, the first few verses. And then I invite you to stand this morning out of respect to the Lord's Word and to the reading of God's Word in this place. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 down through verse 40. And the Bible says in verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." In verse 40, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." I want to focus on that phrase there in verse 39. "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." I want to preach a message entitled this morning, "What Will You Do With This Promise?" What will you do with this promise? Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, again, we are thankful for the opportunity to gather and to hear from You. And I pray that You'd be with me now as we open Your Word and present the message, Lord, that You've spoken to my heart about. And Lord, I pray that You'd be with each and every person that has gathered here today, Lord. I certainly know that they've come to hear from You. And I pray that You would do just that, speak to our hearts, Lord. And in the busyness of this Christmas season, may we take some time just to worship You and hear from You. We love You and we thank You for all these things. In Your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Certainly Hebrews chapter 11 is the great hall of faith chapter. And probably many of you grew up in church, and some of the earliest stories that you heard in Sunday school are stories that correspond with this chapter. As we look at the Old Testament saints that the Bible speaks about, and many of the heroes of the faith spoken about these Old Testament saints. And yet we get to the end of this chapter in verses 39 and verse 40, and of course the verses that we read, just skimming through some of them just for time's sake. The writer of the scriptures saying these things that they did by faith and great acts of heroism there to obtain a better resurrection. We get to verses 39 and 40, and there's somewhat of a comparison and a contrast. You see, these men and women, these Old Testament saints, their faith looked forward to a coming Messiah. They lived their lives with the fact that the Messiah would come, and certainly their faith looked forward to a day, and many of them were brought up under the teachings that the Messiah would come. And what a blessing for us, because our faith looks backward to a Messiah that did come. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen, both take faith. It certainly took faith for them to do the things that they did. They had to be certain that there was a coming Messiah for them to live the life that they did. But I love it because the Bible says, listen, they received not the promise. But look at verse 40. It says, "God having provided some better thing for us." Amen. We have received the promise. And because we've received the promise that's here in the Scriptures, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you and I as Christians today have opportunities for greater faith, have opportunities to do greater things than even the stories that we've read here. And you're looking at these stories and you're saying, I'm not sure that's possible. And yet the Bible tells us He's provided some better thing for us. Amen. And we look at that promise found there in verse 39, the promise that they had not received, the promise that many of them in faith went to their graves looking forward to that promise. And yet I doubt anybody would disagree with me this morning of what that promise was. What a blessing, because that promise is the sinless Son of God. Virgin born, the Messiah, the person, the object of worship that we celebrate at Christmas. Amen. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 4, because I love the way the Word of God speaks of this promise in Galatians in chapter 4. It says in verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. What an awesome thing to think about. In the time that God had already appointed, listen, before the foundations of the world were formed, God had already appointed a time in which His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be born into this world. And the Bible tells us this is an awesome thing. The Bible says that He was sent from God. That phrase, sent from God, means He was 100% God here on this earth. Amen. And I love it because it not only says He was sent from God, but it says He was made of a woman. That means He was 100% man. And yet I doubt any of us in our lifetime could fully comprehend the thought of someone being 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And yet some of that takes faith to believe and to realize that He was Jesus Christ, was God in the flesh here on this earth. But what a blessing to understand that He was sent from God, made of a woman, and here's the awesome thing, He was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He was sent here for you and I, those who in the Old Testament, certainly we didn't stack up against the law, the Ten Commandments. There's no way we could ever keep that. And so there's no way we could ever earn eternal life. And God said, listen, I'll send you my Son. He's made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And what a blessing to understand that this promise that's seen there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39, the promise that the Old Testament saints had no opportunity to receive, they died in their faith not having received the promise, looking forward to the promise. We now look back and realize that promise did come. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God's Son. And here's what I love about this passage in Galatians chapter 4, because the Bible says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What a blessing that is to understand. And then verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I love the text in this passage, and specifically the word adoption. You understand as well as I that an infant that's born into a family, whether that family has great wealth or great poverty, that infant has no clue. They just need those basic necessities of life met. They need food. They need clothing. But as far as understanding whether there's great wealth or great poverty, there's really not much a difference to that infant. They're just happy as long as they're fed, they're changed, those kind of things. And yet, if you would take a young man and you would take him from a family or from a home that utterly had nothing, that was destitute, that didn't have the daily provisions, and you took that young man and you took him from that home that was destitute, and you took him and you were adopted into a family of great wealth with unlimited resources, can I get you to understand that young man would understand right away the difference? And yet here's the blessing that God tells us. The fact that we are adopted means that we were taken from a life of absolute destitution, from a life of utter sin in which we had nothing good of ourselves. And God has taken us and He's adopted us as His child. And He's taken us from that life and He's placed us as the heir of His Son. Amen. And as Christians, listen, the day you get saved, immediately you notice a difference. Immediately you understand all the resources that God has for you. And what a great blessing it is to understand. And listen, as Christians, we see there in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Listen, because of that promise that we see there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39, listen, we are heirs of God for those that will accept and receive that promise. And I thought about it this way. Can you imagine Mary on that first Christmas morning? And she held Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in her arms and looked upon the sinless Son of God. And listen, I fully believe that Mary understood all that God was doing through sending Jesus Christ the Messiah. And can you imagine that mother looking at that little baby, realizing this is the promise. This is what I've been told about my entire life. This is what my parents and my grandparents had said, God's promised Son, the Messiah. In fact, I want you to turn back to Luke in chapter 1 because it's very important to see Mary's perspective on the Christ child. You see, Mary found out by an angel that her body would be used to house the sinless Son of God. And the Holy Spirit would do a great miracle within her. And she says in verse 46 of Luke in chapter 1, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Listen, Mary understood the promise that was given to her. She believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And I can imagine as she's holding that baby and as she's laying that baby very carefully in the manger, realizing this is the promise that was foretold. This is what's been promised to us for so long. He's been manifest here in the flesh. And what a great and awesome thing that was. And the Bible says, those of the children of Israel. Listen, many of them rejected the promise, but the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And praise the Lord, listen, that promise hadn't just come for Mary. It came for the entire nation of Israel, but it also came for you and I. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there in Hebrews chapter 11, we see this promise that did come. And our faith looks back to a Messiah, this promise that was coming. And so certainly, no doubt about it, listen, Mary was fully cognizant, I believe, of this promise that she was holding. And again, the Israelites, those that surrounded her, and those that surrounded that baby on that first Christmas morning, realized, this is the Messiah, God in the flesh, come down to us. And yet it continued to go forward. And yet we go back to Hebrews in chapter 11. I want you to look back to that text, if you would. Because the Bible says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Can I say, and then we just want to read verse 40 as well, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Because of the fulfillment of this promise, those Old Testament saints that went to their graves believing that the promised Messiah would come, today are experiencing all that God has for them in a place called heaven. They've received that promise. They've received that eternal rest that we talked about last week because of the fulfillment of this promise. And the Bible says in verse 40, the end of it, that they without us should not be made perfect. Listen, that's not speaking specifically of you or I, but the fact that this promise did come and that we're now living in the New Testament age of grace in which we're no longer under the law. And these men and women that died in their faith looking forward to that promise today are experiencing all that God has for them in heaven. They died in full belief that that promise would come to pass, and that promise did come to pass. And can I say this? That promised Messiah changed everything. Changed our world in which we live in. Changed everything, for it ushered in the age of grace. Salvation through faith alone. Grace that you and I don't deserve. And we see there's a transition even in this passage from those Old Testament saints living under the law to the New Testament saints and those that would go forward living under the age of grace. And the Bible says, because of that, God having provided some better thing for us. I ask myself that question, what is that better thing that's been provided for us? Certainly we understand the Messiah came to this earth. We understand that we had opportunity to receive the Messiah. But the Bible goes on in chapter 12 in the first couple of verses and explains that better thing in a little bit more detail. The Bible says in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." That word wherefore is always an indicator to look back and see what we've just talked about. And he says, "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," understanding that those people that we just talked about, those Old Testament saints, they're with God in heaven today. And what a great blessing. It's because the promise did come. And certainly those in our lifetime that have gone on before us are in that great cloud of witnesses. And listen, it's an encouragement to think for me to think about that. I think about two grandfathers that I have in heaven today and a grandmother. Boy, it encourages me to continue on. It encourages me to realize, listen, they fought a good fight here on this earth and they're with God in heaven today praying for me and encouraging me to go on. The Bible says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And then he says, this is that better thing. First of all, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Listen, the better thing that you and I have received, first of all, this morning, is complete forgiveness of sin. I want you to think about that this morning. Complete forgiveness of sin. If you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you stand before God today with a full and free pardon of sin. My Bible, I love the words that are found in Psalms in chapter 103 and verse 12. The Bible says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Listen, never to be remembered again. When God looks at you and I, listen, He doesn't choose to see us in a past full of sin. No, He chooses us to see us as those whom His Son has died to redeem. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, listen, washes away our sins so much so that when God looks upon us, He sees us as justified. That word justified is an awesome word. It's a word that I learned when I was just a little boy, and they taught me to say it this way, just as if I'd never sinned. When God looks at you today, He sees you as sinless. Not because of something great that you've done, but because of His Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for your sins. Listen, that promise of that better thing that God had for us is the complete forgiveness of sins. And yet I want to remind you this morning that there's a problem because we still have an enemy. We see here in this passage, the Bible says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Listen, God has given you complete forgiveness of sins, but we still have an enemy that's aimed at tripping you up as you live this Christian life. He's constantly putting His snares out there. He's constantly putting those trials and those temptations out there for you. And yet I want to remind you, because it won't always be that way. And God has a plan for the devil. And I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Because a verse that I take great comfort in when I live this Christian life and deal with the attacks of the devil. At the end of the millennial reign, God will allow the devil one more fight. He'll bring him back to this earth, and God will take him on once and for all and battle with him. And then Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And listen, there's coming a day. Listen, because of the promise, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming here to this earth, there's coming a day in which God will take that old devil, the accuser of the brethren, and He'll cast him into a devil's hell. Listen, never to tempt, never to destroy, forever and ever. But until that time, we fight against the devil. We have an adversary. The Bible tells me, though, in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." Listen, understand this, Christian, this morning. You've been given forgiveness of sins. You've been given victory over sin, and yet the devil continues to try to destroy us. And the Bible says, listen, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We need to remove those things from our lives. We need not fall for the temptations of the devil. Listen, one of the better things that God has provided for us as New Testament Christians is a full and free pardon from sin. Not to have to deal with those things any longer. The Bible says in John in chapter 10 and verse 10, in fact, I want you to turn over there if you would this morning. John chapter 10 and verse 10. And again, I love this passage of Scripture as it relates to the Christian life. The Bible says in verse 10, "The thief cometh not, but first to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." Listen, what God has envisioned for each and every Christian is an abundant life. It's that better thing. He says, listen, I've forgiven you of your sins. I want you to move forward living a victorious Christian life, and I offer you this abundant life. And you know what will hinder that Christian life? What will hinder that abundant life is the sins and the weights that doth so easily beset us as we live this life. Listen, what God has envisioned for every Christian is found there in this passage, in this abundant life. And the Bible says, listen, the sheep know Him, and they hear His voice. God intends a fellowship with the Father for each and every Christian. And God intends in that fellowship for you to understand that there's peace and joy and happiness. And yet so many times, you look at those living the Christian life, and they're being ensnared by the sins of the devil. And you look at their life and there is no peace. And there is no joy. And there is no happiness. Because there's no fellowship. Because the sin in their life has hindered the fellowship in which God would have them to have. And I look back in Hebrews chapter 11. And we see that God's provided some better thing. And yet that is the picture of a miserable Christian life. And I don't think that's what God was speaking about when He said, I've provided some better thing for you. He's providing that abundant life for us. And can I get you to understand this morning? You've received complete forgiveness of sins. Listen, that's something that the Old Testament saints, they didn't have. Listen, the Bible tells us that every year on the Day of Atonement that they would go before the temple. And they'd take that lamb, that sacrificial lamb, and they'd offer it up for a sacrifice for their sins. And the Bible tells us that would appease the wrath of God for 1 year and 1 year only. And yet it constantly served as a reminder to them that the sinless Son of God, the final sacrifice, would one day come. But it also reminded them that we're still in our sins. And every year as they'd come to the temple, they would realize, listen, while the Messiah has not come yet, we're still in our sins. And yet what a blessing it is for us to understand and be able to look back in faith and realize our Messiah did come, that promise that we see there in Hebrews chapter 11. And because of that promise, God has provided some better thing. And yet I want to ask you this question, Christian, this morning. If God's provided forgiveness of sins completely, why would we ever want to go back into that life? You think about the life before you were saved and the change that God made in your life. Why would you ever want to be ruled by that master again in your life? And yet the Bible says, listen, God's provided some better thing for us. He's provided forgiveness of sins. And He says, listen, now you have victory with God. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It's time to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Because He's given victory over sin. He's given victory as we live this Christian life. And we see that first of all this morning, what a blessing, that better thing that He's provided. Complete forgiveness of sins. But it doesn't stop there, it gets better. I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, because not only does He provide complete forgiveness of sins, actually in chapter 12, look at the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2. The Bible says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Listen, that better thing for us is not only forgiveness of sins, but secondly, I want you to see it's a walk with God. That better thing that He has provided for us through that promise received there in Hebrews chapter 11 is not only forgiveness of sins, but a daily walk with Him. Amen. He says, listen, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I believe that race to be the Christian life. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're now under new ownership. He gives you a life and a direction to go. And listen, the Bible tells us to run with patience, looking unto Jesus. I've been intrigued by marathons for some time. Not intrigued enough to actually train for a marathon. But something about 26.2 miles is pretty much a very amazing feat. And I know some of you in this congregation this morning have trained for marathons and ran them, and I admire you very much. I understand that takes months of planning and preparation leading up to that race. It takes quite a disciplined regimen. And yet on the morning of that race, after that person has prepared for several months in advance, they show up to that race. And when the race starts, you understand this, that those participating in that race don't take off in a full-out sprint. No, they realize it's a marathon, 26.2 miles. If they take off and use all their energy in the first mile, they're not going to finish that race. But someone that's trained for that marathon, and some of you I've talked to about this, it's all about establishing a pace. Having a little bit of patience coming out of the starting gate and realizing this is a long race. And yet I want you to understand this morning, the Bible says the Christian life is much the same way. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon in which we have to run with patience the race that is set before us, and we have to establish a pace as we live the Christian life. And I want you to help you understand, listen, one of the blessings of the Messiah coming is that we can look to Jesus and we can walk with Him every day of this life. As we go through this Christian life, as we're running the race, listen, and yet I've seen again far too many Christians that have gone on to try to live this Christian life in doing it in their own strength and in their own power, not establishing a pace, but just realizing I'm going to do this thing on my own, not looking to God. But I want to remind you this morning of all that God has given us in which we can run this race here on this earth. In that daily walk with God, because the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What a blessing it is for Christians to understand that, listen, like we preached about last week, I can come boldly before the throne of grace anytime that I want. And God says, come before me and fellowship with me. But listen, He doesn't stop there. Listen, because the promise came to this earth, Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Bible gives us His Word. And we can get daily in God's Word and realize all that He has for us to live the Christian life. And He says, listen, walk with me and establish a patience and establish a pace as you live this Christian life. But He also says, listen, I've given you the church. I've given you fellowship among Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. I've given you the opportunities to come out under a spiritual leader and hear the messages preached from God's Word that'll be a blessing and impact your life as you live this life. And we must understand this morning that that better thing means God has provided a walk with God. And He's given us every tool in which we have need of, in which we can walk with Him on a daily basis and realize that He is near. And listen, those Christians that are close to God, those Christians that are running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, are holding on to God's hand on a daily basis. Listen, when difficulty comes in their life, they're already right there with God. And God may hold them a little closer and say, it'll be all right. I can lead you through this difficulty. Because there's been a consistent Christian walk with them. Listen, there's those that are looking at God face to face. In the early hours of the morning, they meet with God and they come to church and they're faithful and they fall on their knees before the throne of God. When tragedy or a difficulty strikes in their life, they're already looking at God. And God calmly assures them and says, listen, I've got everything under control. And I'll lead you through this difficult valley. And I want you to understand this morning that God has provided something better for us. It's a full and free forgiveness of sins. But then it's a daily walk with Him. And yet, again, listen, too many Christians live the Christian life trying to do it in their own strength and in their own power. And they get through the difficulties and they go through difficult times and they're trying to do their own strength. And listen, there's frustration there because they're not looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. And again, listen, that's not what I see. That's not the better thing. That's not the abundant life that God has provided for us. I want to ask you this question this morning. What will you do with this promise? What will you do with the baby there in the manger, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, come down to mankind? But I first of all say this morning that you must accept this promise. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You may be here today, and listen, you may be very sincere. You may have tried to be a very good person throughout your life, and maybe you've attended church for several years. But again, this morning, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Unless you accept this promise, unless you look at that baby that was born in Bethlehem, that sinless Son of God who didn't stay a baby but rose up and lived a sinless, perfect life, died on a cross of Calvary, but didn't stay dead, rose again on the third day to defeat death, hell, and the grave, and lives forevermore. Listen, I want to ask you this morning, have you accepted this promise? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in which you've called upon Him and asked Him to be your Lord and Savior? And then if you have accepted Him, the second thing for all of us that are Christians here today, once we've accepted Him, then we must acknowledge His presence in our lives on a daily basis. He says, listen, the promise that the Old Testament saints didn't receive. They died in their faith and today they're in heaven because the Messiah did come, the fulfillment of that promise. But you've received that promise. He says, listen, this morning, are you acknowledging Him on a daily basis? Are you running with patience the race that's set before you? I want to close with verse 3 because it's a word of warning to us. The Bible says in verse 3, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." For the Christian, listen, our job is to look to Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says in verse 3, "Consider Him that endured such things." As you live the Christian life, if you've accepted the promise, as you live the Christian life, your goal is to focus on Him, to keep your eyes upon Him, to consider Him on a daily basis. And yet the alternative to considering Christ and to focusing on Him is focusing on me. It's the opposite. Listen, as I live the Christian life, if I'm not focusing on God, I'm going to be focusing on myself. And when I begin to focus on myself, I begin to see all the problems that I'm dealing with, all the difficulties that I'm dealing with, how I've been given a raw deal as I live this Christian life. And look what it says there in verse 3. It says, when you don't consider Him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It says, when you're not looking to me, you're looking to yourself. And when you're looking to yourself, this is what's going to happen. You're going to grow weary living the Christian life because you're going to try to do it in your own strength and your own power. You're going to grow weary and you're going to faint in your mind. See, what does that mean, faint in your mind? I've seen far too many Christians try to do things on their own. And they did. They grew weary over time because they said, all the things that I'm dealing with, instead of focusing on Him and all that He endured for us to give us salvation and that He has a plan in our lives, I'm looking at myself. And they grew weary. And many of them today, not in church, quit the Christian life because they said, I can't do it. And boy, how true that is. You can't do it on your own. You will grow weary. You will faint in your mind if you're not considering Him. And yet again, listen, that is not the abundant life. That is not the better thing that we see there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. Is someone to grow weary and faint in their minds? No, the better thing that God has provided for us this morning is forgiveness of sins, a full and free pardon from sins, and then a daily walk with God, considering Him and focusing on Him. And I ask you this morning again, what will you do with this promise? Will you accept this promise? Have you called upon Jesus Christ? The Bible says, for whosoever shall come and shall call upon Him shall be saved. And what a great blessing to understand. If you're here today, listen, God wants you to be saved. And in just a moment, you can walk an aisle and someone will take a Bible and show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that you can go to heaven and you can receive this promise. And then if you've accepted this promise, are you acknowledging Him on a daily basis? Or has it been more about looking inwardly? Sometimes it's just a lack of focus. When we should be focusing on Him, we're focusing on other things and maybe we're dwelling on our own problems. And He says, listen, when that happens, you'll be weary and you'll faint in your minds. And that's not the better thing He's promised for any Christian. It's that abundant life. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.